Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Hey,
oh, the boy, the plastic
bubble. No, but this is what we're looking at. Here, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. However, in honor of our missing Sabba Josh or Shabbos, we left the last few lines of the parak, because how could we possibly begin a new parak without a fine thunder, halakha parak, and so on. So therefore, let's go back, which is anyway a wonderful opportunity to chazer. We wouldn't want to just forget that parak. And let's remember the last thing that we had. The shaila was legabe a tumtum, the behema. And the issue is that we basically had come up with a number of different ways of understanding the mark like this. The Chitta's approach was that indeed, according to the Rabbanan Basroi in the Mishnah, who say you don't have to worry before about androgynous, it's only androgynous that you don't have to worry about. Even though the Mishnah seems to be talking about tumtum the androgynous, but a tumtum is certainly, according to everyone, a suffix, because there's no way that the Torah would have been memayit to tumtum from the dinam of Bechor. Reb Yochanan disagreed with Reb Chisda. According to him, tumtum could even be included in a miyutz. Then, according to Reb Chisda, it turned out that the different shitas lagabe tumtum consisted of the question of what is a raya as to whether an animal is considered to be a zakhar of a nekeva when it comes to urination. So there, since by an animal, the female and male genitalia are so placed so apart from each other, we ought to take a look at where it urinates from and decide, no, we can't see the genitals, it's sort of easy to tell whether it's male or female. So if Lamaisa it's urinating from where a phallus would be if we could see it, then clearly it's a male. That's not a subject at all, unless you all, like Rabbi Yochanan says, we're Mamaya Tumtum Bechlau because of the deformity. It's considered to be something else. But according to Chisda, it's definitely a male. The Shaila is, but it's definitely a female just because it's urinating from where a female would normally urinate, because after all, it's possible that the phallus is twisted into the location of Nakvis. The urine is being forced upwards by the skin, and therefore it looks like it's a female. Then the Gemara introduced the Shaila of whether this type of Chashash, which is called Hove Ishtini Ishtini, might itself be a machlokes, and that really we have to wonder whether, when we see a certain level of deformity, whether this may be a syndrome. In other words, if we find that there's something wrong with the skin that's covering the genitals, then maybe there's also a syndrome here that includes also a twisting of the phallus in the direction of the nakom, who knows? So then you don't say the claw that you would have normally that you go bus a road, because over here, over Ishtani, and we wanted to make that dependent legabe the machlokes when it comes to a human tumtum as to what to do legabe his or hers wife. Now there's a question over here is, what's the halakha of a tumtum fetus? If a tumtum dies, so now the shaila is, there's two ways of looking at it. On the one hand, we could say his brother should definitely do chalitza, because what does it hurt? If he does chalitza and it turns out that his brother, his deceased brother, is actually his deceased sister, so then clearly his sister's wife wasn't much of a wife. Unless by Massachusetts laws, that's it. But that's not much of a wife. So he's able, therefore, to go and to do the chalitza, to do down to the yibam, sorry, to do yibam anyway, right? And if on the tzad that he is a brother, so then that's also then, there's a fee of yibam, so what's wrong? And that led us to the question of ishtani in terms of the chashash that maybe is a soris. Assuming that everybody agrees that a Saris Chama, which itself is in my focus, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, in Yevamos, but assuming we all have Rabbi Akiva, that a Saris Chama, meaning a natural sterility, is possible for Yibum and is not Machai of Yibum, there's an additional reason not to do Yibum over here. Because on the tzad that his brother really was a brother, and was a Tumtum, Then, according to Vamadhyama, we have grounds to wonder whether this might not be a syndrome of something wrong with the reproductive system that includes one symptom of tumzumism and another symptom of sterility. In which case, there's Ophiyah v'Yibum, because the Torah is not Mechayev Yibum, where there's no fertility on the part of the deceased. Therefore, you would be Pegeya Be'erva if he's a male, because he certainly can marry someone, but he's not Mechayev v'Yibum if you're his brother. So we originally wanted to be Mekashivet to the Shire of all Vishtanish. In other words, what we need to assume that when we see some type of genetic change, it's part of a syndrome of change that includes other issues, or not. But Mike, the Gemara ended up saying not necessarily so, because it could be that the Machlokas isn't in terms of Vishtanish, but rather in terms of whether it's Rizkam is at the Gam and Yibam or not. If you are like Rabbi Eliezer, who reports that in Alexandria, which was the center of technology in the day, so the hospitals in Alexandria have means to cure Suiz Haman, so then it's not a Pesul in the Yibam anyway. Maybe that's good for the Machlokas. The Gemara was Docha, that the whole Beast in Houston is definitely a Machlokas Tanoi. We can't prove that. So let...
If we were able genetically to determine this is definitely a male, and just by, you know, checking yourself, would that be enough, or we have to see it in the...
Lagabe Tum Tum, you mean?
The definition of male or female, yes.
The question is whether the definition of male or female is really genetic. I mean, that's not la-la, it isn't genetic. And somebody tells me, you know, well, chromosomally, he ought to be a female, but he has some kind of deformity, you know. It's not going to change the halacha. The fact is, he has normal male genitalia, and he's a male. So now, the Gemara came out yesterday that the Shaila was regarding chalitza, whether a tumtum should do chalitza. The last machlokas that we had was that Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda says a tumtum should not do chalitza, because if he turns out to be a Suiz Haman, so then, even assuming he's a male, then his chalitza is going to be useful. So, because Shemi Yikarav and Yimshah, you were last line, let's just go over, Shemi Yikarav Yimatzei Nekiva, and even if he's a Zachar, Shema Yimatzei Suiz Haman. Now this is different than the Rabbi Yehuda, who's Mash V'Him Avadai Soros. He says, Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtze Zachar is definitely a Soros. That was Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. My B'nai, the Nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and between Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that is to say, Rabbi Yehuda says he's Vadaya Soros, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says he's a Sophic Soros, Nafkamina would be, Amar Rava, Litzoba, Mokam Achim, one Nafkamina is. If this guy didn't follow orders, and he went ahead and he did a Chalitza when there were other brothers, the thing is, if one of the brothers does Chalitza, he apostles the Yavoma for any of his other brothers to do Yibam now. Because he took off the Zika, so now there's no Yibam Mokamara. Then this guy, if we're going to say, according to Rav Yehuda, he's Vadai Asaris, so then he didn't do anything. But he's not included in the Din of Chalitza at all. Mashenkin, according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, he is on a Sophic over here, and therefore he may have passed it for the brothers. So it turns out to be a Chumah. The Sophic itself is a Chumah. Or, Lachalot, Shalom B'Mokam Achim, in a case where there are no other brothers, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so there's no fear of Rabbi Yehuda. Well, this woman is not a Yavama, and she's Muteris to anybody. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he may not be a Soris, she is not free to marry until she gets the Mitzara Sofik, she gets Chalitza Mitzara Sofik, and there's no other brother to do Chalitza. So then he should do the Chalitza B'Monachav, if he isn't Chayev and Chalitza because he's not a he, or because he's sterile. So then what's he doing wrong? She was never a Yavama, you're not hurting anything. And if, in fact, he is a male and not a Soris, so then he just passed the Lusha, so everything should be fine. And that is what is Ika B'Nayu. That's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Hadra Alok Elu Mumin. Mumin Elu. All of the above mentioned Mumin in the previous parak, Al Elu Mumin. And the Mumin that we learned out Al Elu Mumin, remember, we derived from two sources. One was the beginning of the parak where we learned out the Mumin from the parsha of the Bechor, where we made a cloth out of cloth. And over there, we said that the kol mumra is marbe, anything that is strikingly ra. And so that was, even if, no matter what you hold, the gabi that didn't claw out of claw, claw la kama, claw la batra, certainly there's a ribui when it comes to kol mumra. Then we had various mumin that showed up over there, spisef oivir. But we had mumin that showed up in the parsha of mumin and emor, where it lists all, many, many mumin legabi behima. And there's, of course, a third parsha, which we haven't even discussed, which is also an emor, but that's the mumin of the Kayanim themselves, the human Kayanim. We've discussed so far behemoths, whether they're Bechor or whether they're Kutch. You know what? That's not a bad idea at all. Thank you very much for that suggestion. Yeah, we have right now. Let us indeed take a look in the Chumash. Everybody can think it's going to be Madaiq, the differences in the wording between the various parshas. So let's take a look first in Vayikra, in Emor. Perakot Beis. Actually, why don't we... Yeah, let's do Perakot Beis first. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Limor Daber Al Aaron Vel Banav Al Kol Bnei Yisrael. And what we're talking about over here, somebody who comes to Yaqib Korbano, Lechol Nidreyam, Lechol Nidreysam, Lechol Nechem, Tamim Zachor Babakar, Bakisavim Uvaizi. Kol Asher Bo Mum, Lo Sakrivu. Ki Lo Leratzon Yalachem. What are these mumim? Ish, Yaqib Zerat Shlamim, Tamim Iye, Kol Mum Lo Yevo, Avere, O Shavur, O Charuz, Lechol Beis of Beis, of course, Shavur, Charutz, we darshaned in the previous parak, and all the Charutzim, that was basically the case of the Mashu that has a slit in it. Shavur, we spoke about the Shvira Se'etzen. Averus, we spoke about in terms of the Einayim. Yabelet, Ogarav, Oyalet, that we talked about in terms of the Nafkamina that has a bone, doesn't have a bone, in the eye and in the Lovin of the eye, and with Sarot, without Sarot. These are all the things that we've already darshaned. Lo takrivu elo la'ashem, v'yishe lo titnu me'am ala mizbeach la'ashem. Furthermore, which we also spoke about, shor v'seh sarua v'kalut, and we talked about the sarua v'kalut, l'gavi chamor, where it's the shape of its leg, where we had different lengths of the shok, besides the case where the shok on top was connected in different places. Then we had Ma'uch, Katut, Natut, V'charut in great length. We discussed in last week's parak, reference to Beitzim, reference to Gid. All of that we finished. We never did something that is a page earlier, which is in Chof Aleph, Yud Zayin, where we just passed, Kol Ish Asher Bo Mum Lo Yikrav. Here we're talking about the Kohen. Kohen who has a mum should not be makrim. Ish iver o fiseach o chorum o sorua o ish asher yebo shever regel o shever yad o gibein o dak o tevalul beino. Ooh, we did talk about tevalul, didn't we? I wonder where we got it from, the guy in the behemoth. O gorov o yalefet. That's interesting because we had a lashon of the Garav Yalefet by Behema too. O Maruah Asher, Ko Ish Asher Bomu Mizaron Akoinetzon, Lo Yigash Akrivet Yishay Asher. This we've never discussed, except we've sort of taken for granted that the mumim that appear over here, because we discussed Sheva Yad, Sheva Red, we discussed in the previous parak, we discussed the Tevalul. So apparently we are taking for granted that what appears in one of these parshias applies also to the other parsha. Now let's just take a look. L'man Hashlama in Re'e. You know, we already darshan those psukim at length at the beginning of the parah. One parsha. So in Re'e Tesvav, at the end, the pasuk Yud Tes, Kol ha-bechor asher yivaleh b'vkorcha v'sonecha. Oh, we had so much fun with these psukim. Ha-zachar, oh boy. Tzadish la-Hashem, okay, this is great. Lo ta'avod b'vkor shorecha v'lo ta'goz b'vkor sonecha. Lifnei Hashem alokecha tochlenu shana b'shana. Isn't it wonderful when you just finish a sugya and see how every word is filled with the most delicious drushes? V'kiev v'mum. Piseach o'iver, kol mum ra, this was our klal prat u'klal. Gebu mum, klal, piseach o'iver, prat, kol mum ra, chozar v'klal. Not only that, the kol ends up being a ribuy. Three separate parshas that seem to have a different focus on what type of mum in, because, I mean, piseach o'iver, all that we did from that was a yinu mum shebegolui. And how do we know all those other fancy movement that we had in the other parshas? Again, apparently we are comparing now the parshas one to another, and we began as Becheres in discussing the movement of Bechor, even though those are the ones that appear last in the Torah, in Re'eh. We went on to discuss movement of the Amos in general, because we got to discussing Eriyah, which obviously would be very hard to find in a Bechor, since Bechors are all males. So we went on to Mugdashim, what creates Mumin ben Mugdashim. And finally, we come now to the parsha of Mumin the Adam. Okay, says the Mishnah, Mumin Elu, all the above Mumin, Bein Kulim, Bein Ovrim, Poslim Ba'adam, as long as they are present, so whether they are Kavua or whether they're Mum Over, while they are present, the Adam is possible for Abedah. The Yeter Alehim Adam. Now there are things that are more broader, including Mumin for Adam, which include the Kilon, the Lutan, the Makavan, the Rosh Hashakut. Now all of these various Mumin the Gemara is going to discuss, but basically the Mr. Pointy Head, Mr. Turnip Head, Mr. Hammerhead, that's what all of these words mean, and Mr. Gilbert Head. Now the next one is a very serious mum that only occurs in people who spend too much time on the slope. What happens is that their feet become permanently attached to their skis, and that's called the Skifuss in German.
Right.
And listen, at least you'll remember this one. So, again, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the Skifus is. And the Balak HaTarot, somebody who has the hunchback of Notre Dame syndrome. Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, that's the Balak HaTarot, the Chachamim Poslim. So the Balak HaTarot begins a new section. Balak HaTarot, Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, the Chachamim Poslim. Hakereach pasu, someone who is bald is pasul. How do we define bald? Ezeu kereach. Kol she'in lo shita shel se'ar makefet me'ozen la'ozen. If there's not enough hair that goes around the head from ear to ear, then he's bald. But most going to discuss this in front, this in back, this all around the head, and so on. Im yesh lo, if he's got that, hareze kasher, then there's no problem. Begins the Gemara. Amai. Why are we so certain that all of the above mumin passed by Adam? Clearly, and vice versa. We're so sure that all of the above mumin that appeared by Adam applied to the aim. I mean, that look, Yabelet does not appear by an Adam. It only appeared by the Parsha Behema. So Yabelet, the Lord appeared by Adam. And how about the Dak and the Tzvalul? We have the whole analysis of Behema, Dak and the Tzvalul in the previous parak. Doesn't say that by Behem at all. We're obviously deriving it from Adam. How do we know that applies to Behem? Therefore, it says the Gemara must be that Milav Yalfi Nehadot. These Mumin are learnt out one Parsha from the other. The Tanya, as we see in the Brisa, the Adam lo ne'amar bo yabelet. The Behemah lo ne'amar dak t'valu. Minayin litenet ha'amur shel zeh b'zeh v'ha'amur shel zeh b'zeh. How do we know to compare the two sugyas? Talmud lomar garav garav and yalefet yalefet l'gzei reshana. So we do find Bigarav, or the way I've been saying it, the Sakh, the Gerav, Bigarav, and the Aleph, in both of the Parshiyas, and that makes the Gerav Shava. Well, I sure hope they're Mufni, because if they're not Mufni, if they're not extra Psukim, you're low Mufni, you can let me try. I mean, there's an easy way out of this if you don't have an extra plus that's forcing it on you. You could say, you cannot say that an Adam is going to be possible with the same movement of Behema. It's very easy to imagine that something that is itself put on the Mizbeach, so it's going to be a little bit more machner in what constitutes a moon than somebody who is only peripherally related by being the one who does the Avodah, but he doesn't actually put himself on the Mizbeach. So he has to be like a Mizbeach, should be more firmer. On the other hand, to say that just because something appears by Adam it should apply to Behema also, this doesn't necessarily follow. Certainly it makes sense to say that there are higher standards for the performance of a mitzvah by an Adam than to be certain just the object of a korban by a behemoth. So how do we know to compare the two unless they're mufni? So the well, of course they're mufni. Lie, absolutely, was new mufni. It's obvious why they're mufni. Why would I need two words to tell me the same thing? In other words, why don't we just have Yalefet? Why do we need to have Garub, Biflal? I mean, we said before, Yalefet is sort of damaged. The Garub is horrific. I mean, it just eats in, it just got the cracked flesh deep down into the skin, under the skin. So why would I need Garub? I mean, if Yalefet, the Loma Yisabi movement. A Garub, the Yisilokoshike. So why say Garub, Garub? Why both parshas we have an extra Garub? Because Rahman Alomali must be Mafnuye. So why is it? And it's very strange. The Torah gives us two parshas, almost in the same place. I mean, one daf away. Says like slightly different list here, different list there, and then throws in these words. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you could have listed all of the things, let's say, in the first parsha by the Adam. Then just mention Garav and Yalefet by the Behemah. And then you've got your Mufni, and you know all of them. It seems so arbitrary. Let's throw some there, throw some there, and then put them together. I mean, is there any rhyme or reason behind the way that we split it? So, Lifta Dina Rachmana Kula Bechad, the Gora B'Yalev Esach V'Hacha, V'Lilfo Chada Me'Adadi. Well, what would you suggest? Since you're so smart. I mean, so, ahead. How would you have it do it? I said, B'Hai Lifta Rachmana. E Katev V'Adam. Let's say it would have said the entire list by Adam. So I would have said, okay, called the possible Adam, possible Behema. That makes sense. You're telling me now with the Asaf Nuye, anything that is possible for an Adam is possible Behema. Now there's certainly some things that you can't find by an Adam. I mean, a Kolut. Well, with a Kolut, he doesn't have a split hoof, most people I know. And a Chujin, although I must tell you, there are some people I know that definitely have a certain type of split oath, but not the kosher kind.
Split tongue.
Fourth time. The chutin, the lesnu ba'adam. So, and how about the chutin? Now, this is interesting because, again, chutin, we had a three-way focus. What are chutin? If you learn, like Rabbi Nagarsha, that chutin are actual teeth, what do you mean, lech ba'adam, chutin? And I shall have chutin. So, that shot can only be preserved the way the Taisus over here in the Shita explains that the formation, the placement of the teeth is totally different than the Adam and the Behema, and therefore we wouldn't see that as being a pagam in the same way it's a pagam in the Behema, where it's completely open in the front of its mouth, you see right away what's going on inside and so on. Okay. I mean, the other chat that we're talking about, the bony plate or the under part, that's a different formation in a Behema. So let's know Ba'adam. It shouldn't pass on a Behema either. So we have no choice but to write that, because otherwise we have to do without this movement at all, right? And on the other hand, let's say it said whatever could apply to a Behema. I would say, okay, fine. So call the possible Behema, possible Ba'adam. I mean, certainly a Gibain or a Charum, which cannot be by Behema, we'll see later on that a Gibain, this is going only according to the Machlokas, what a Gibain is. But assuming that a Gibain means somebody who has very long eyebrows, that certainly doesn't apply to an eyebrowless Behema. So there couldn't be a Gibain A charum has to do with a crest in nose. Most animals I've met do have that anyway. And so mamela, that wouldn't be a pagam by behema, so it shouldn't be applied by an adam. So less of adam behema, adam namil arisa. Okay, fine. So then that still doesn't apply. Explain an arbitrary list that seems to have been thrown down the stairs. I mean, what you could do is you could have all of the things that apply to both in one, and then the things that are unique to the other to put in the other, and then have the garav and the garav and the aleph and the alefet, and at least it would make sense. So I know that I would add the things that are particularly autumn-oriented or bame-oriented, as the case may be, and then I have the general ones that apply across the board. So then why don't we simply lift the Rachmana Kulot B'chad, V'hanav the Lesnu B'Behema, list of Rachmana B'Behema, V'hanav the Lesnu B'Adam, list of B'Adam, however you want to work it out, and then you have Garav the Aleph V'Eshacha V'Acha, and then Lutin the Adani. So you've started off attempting to explain the Pesukim. I'm still not getting a very clear explanation. I mean, still sense that much of the organization of the parsha is arbitrary. So, Gemara, you're absolutely right. Because really, this follows the tenet of Rabbi Shmuel, that it's wrong to look for too much structure in the various parashas, because the ruling of the tenet of Rabbi Shmuel is that Ko parashash ne'emra v'nishneit, lo nishneit ala b'shvil davar shenitchadesh ba. Fact is that the Torah does not mind repeating things that have appeared in the other parsha. And it's there, even though we could have learned it out, you're right, from the Garav, we could have been a little bit more efficient and only stuck to things that we need to add in the other species. But that's the derech of the Torah, is to write the interconnectedness between various things, for whatever reason. But they certainly don't have to apply on the level of pshat, a level of drash, to tell me new things in each case. Because that's not a mum. It's good that you bring this up. The truth is that we have, as the Rambam speaks out very clearly in his presentation of the Binim of Mumin, we have three levels of Mumin. One level of Mumin are the Mumin that have appeared here in the directly. The other level of movement that we've touched on, only agav in the previous parak, we're going to get into deeply in this parak, is the ish ish mizera aron, ish hashaba bizarra shal aron, which we touched on briefly in one or two examples, where there's a concept of a bell curve that appears to an adam, and anything that's outside of that curve, even though it's not something that is obviously a moon, it's not a specific problem, but it's a person who's not part of the general appearance of people. That's not a mumin the same way the other mumin are. The nafkamina is halacha l'maisa, that he will not be mechala v'zaveza with a mumin like that, even though he may be, machlokas, I understand this again later on, according to Rabbah, apparently he's still over on the lav. According to others, it's only mitzvah say, but again, that's something that we'll see. Then we have, which we're going to introduce in some of the Mishnayos later, the first of which we'll get to today, we have a concept called Maris Ayin. Something just doesn't look appropriate. Where even though you say it is included, Bizarro Shalaren, it's not something that puts someone out of the general realm of Avaida, but we view it as being inappropriate, and therefore Asir. There he will not be over Nisr Diraisa. He certainly will not be over. He will not be Machal of his Aveda if he goes and does it. So, you know, now we haven't yet introduced Ish Ashava Bizarre Shalaran. It's a new Pagan. It's not Mamish Amun.
We don't check that again.
Sorry? Just so I don't know anything.
We don't check the strength of the
Pagan.
That's all
your guts? I mean, yeah, we help him out a bit. The list of Rachmana. Oh, sorry, Ram Moore. So we got up. It's not a very traditional. Yeah. Amar Rabbah. Why bechlal do we need to have a repetition? Three repetitions of the Parsha movie. And in each one of it, we're going to have to learn out the others from the other. Sweet. Let's say, because Rachmana Mumba Adam. I say, okay, and Adam, I understand. Shkenis Rabbah, b'mitzvot. I'm not, I mean, Adam is miyufet. There's no way that I can apply that necessarily to behemoths. Adam mi b'chor. Say I should be able to learn out an Adam mi b'chor lo asi. I can't learn out Adam mi b'chor or be behema. Shkenu atz b'chor v'gami mizbeah. Both of these are themselves roy for the mizbeah. The Adam himself isn't put on the mizbeah, and therefore maybe the standards are lower. Kachim, animals of kachim mi b'chor lo asi. I mean, there I'll say shkenu kedushatav mi rechem. The level of Kedusha B'chor, the term may be, in fact, more makbid because it starts its Kedusha at birth. Adam mikachim alasi. I can't learn out Adam from both, even if I'm a kachim, any type of kachim. First, starting with kachim behema. Lo asi shem atzma kredi. B'chor, if I would have said kachim behema lo asi, shem Kedusha sem meruba. Kachim, I mean, after all, you have kachim kadoshim, I mean, it's a whole different level of kedusha. Tapis kedyana. I mean, how are you going to know that a bechor necessarily has the same dinim? Okay, chadam ichadam lo asim. Maybe just write, let's say, kachim and adam. Then I should be able to learn out bechor from kachim and adam, or any two. Can I learn the third out from it? So teis chadam ichadam. Okay, let's say which two would you like to do? Mehei teis. Lo litzarach one of a bechor. So let's forget about writing a parsha movement by bechor. And let's derive it from the fact that Kayanim are psulim and that Karchev is Be'ach are psulim. Teis me'amah. Malahosh, Kinkim, Shasim, Meruba. First of all, both of those, the Adam and the Karchev, is Kedushasim, Meruba, and Adam is Kadesh. He's given all of these mitzvahs and so on. Karchev, that have brought him, is Be'ach are more Kadesh than Bechor because they have a higher level of Kedusha that they speak, and they have also Karchev, and then, fine. So you can't learn out of Bechor. So how about, and also not to mention Adam Bipshukim. I mean, Bechor is very limited by definition. And Adam, he can be a non-Bechor. All right. Lo list of the Kachim. So let's just say Bechor and say Koyani. Say Simeonav, no. Malanav Shekein Kedushatan Mi'alehem. The Koyanim and the Bechor are Kadosh at birth. The Kachim are Kodesh because somebody made them Kodesh. Okay, so how about Lo list of the Adam? How about ignoring the Kohanim and let's run out the Kohanim from the animals? Both Kachim and Bechor, Teis Me'amah. No, as we said. Both of those, Malamash, Kinein, Atzman, Kredim, Agavim, Yisbeah. Therefore, no combination of two will yield the third. And the Zera had to give us three separate parshas. Yeser Aleim, Adam. We have more things Ba'adam. Now, how do we know, now that we've had something that is makish the mumin one to another, how do we know that we can add things by an Adam? For where do we get them? Certainly not in the parshas mumin. Om Rabbi Yochanan Jamakor, kol isha sher bo mumi zera Aaron. Why is it mizera Aaron? You know, we don't know Kohanim or mizera Aaron yet. To tell me that an ish who is found to be within the norm of Zera Aaron, to Shaveh Zera Shel Aaron, and not a Balmum, both of those things, then he can do the Avodah. But even if he's not a Balmum, but he's not Shaveh Zera Shel Aaron, he can't do the Avodah. And my Ika, being Mum, and Lashenu Shaveh Zera Shel Aaron, what's the difference if he has a Mum? Or if he doesn't have a mum, but he's still not shoved with Zar Shel Aaron, Ika binayu mishum akulei avayda. Nachshamin is, will he be mechal of his avayda? Muma, mochel avayda. Someone who has a mum and does the avayda anyway is actually mechal of that avayda. Dechsipo mum bo velo yichalem. So the Torah puts the chil avayda in dependent on mum. Mashenken, lo. Shena Shabbat, the Zara Shalayim, Loi Mochel Aveda. And my Ika being Shena Shabbat, the Zara Shalayim, Mishum Maris Ayin. What's the Nafkamina between the case of Maris Ayin that we're going to have later on and Ener Shabbat, the Zara Shalayim? Ika Benayim, I'd say, Napkamina is, are you only over on a say and an assay? In other words, each who is Shava Bazara Shalaran shall do the Aveda, but if he isn't Shava Bazara Shalaran, so that it's a lava bumikal assay, he shouldn't do the Aveda. Or is it Mamish an Isser of Lo Yavo? Now, what I'd like to do is actually say we'll do the next few, but I want to jump ahead a little bit to the Eina Shava, to the Maris Ayin, because we haven't learned yet what the definition is of Maris Ayin. Because in order to do the sugya up to the next Mishnah, we need to be Bekiyim a little bit of Maris Ayin. But first, let's just explain the words in our Mishnah. The Kilon. What exactly is a Kilon? A Kilon is a barrel head. The Domi Reshala Akla. His head is similar to the top of a barrel. A little bit of a machlokas what that is. Rashi learns it means pointy head, because a barrel comes up to a point. The Rambam learns the barrel top in those days was formed with a handle that you could actually hold the top of the barrel. So it means that he has like a ridge along that's bolet more than normal, that sticks out on top of his skull.
Reminds me of the spinal of the regime, where the Amorim of regime, the spinal pointed at the top.
And that's the tesser of David, and it goes in, that's the sin. I'm sure he has a very nice drawing of the barrel. I see. Okay, as I said, Gilbert gives us our best picture of somebody's heads. Lifta, the domination, like that Lita de Lifta. He looks like a turnip head. In other words, his head, in fact, expands outward as it goes up. Tana, Vitzavaro omeg beemtzaro sho, and he would have his neck would be in the middle of his head, and the head extends from there at an angle going up. Strange looking fellow, but very popular in comic books.
But no neck,
but no neck. We'll see later on. Rosho shakut is shakut milafanav. A little bit of machlokas. Our gears over there shakua shakut milafanav. Rashi learns that it's Mishupa Milafanav Balakson, that it goes downwards in a diagonal. Okay, others learn that if you have Shakua, that it means that it's the opposite of the ridge, that there's a notch in the skull. Skifut, or Sikifat, and the large version of Skifus with a Samar, is Me'achorav. That's talking about that you have the same idea. But this is the Dober head where it's missing in back. It goes sort of straight up from the neck and doesn't stick out in the back. But yeah, I mean, it's a sharkle piece. This guy's got something missing. Piece has been removed. So it's a sharkle piece. It's a skifat. Tana, and the Bryce that adds the Savaro Shakut the Shamut. That's the football player. Shakut a Kavyam Yishpa, where his head is, his neck is hidden by his head. So his head seems to be poking out of between his shoulders. Shamut is that it's so long it seems to be like falling to the side or something. So that both of those are considered not to be shoved. And the Balakatarut, Rabbi Yehuda says that, well, I mean, what's the problem with that? Now, actually, the Isbeyetikuliyamalo pleaded apostle. Everybody's made it that in a case of a actual bone, welcome to join us, Mr. Hamilton. So if you have an actual bone in the back that is part of this deformity, then for sure you've got a real problem over here. That we don't have a machlokas, even though the Mishnah introduces Ravina Machiba Chachamim Poslim, it's talking about a boneless boneless case of a katatrot. But that's the case in the Mishnah. But if there was actually a bone, everybody's made it as possible. Keep leaking the lead by itself. Mar Sava, look, what's not for me if there's a bone or not? It's not Shava Bizarre Shalari. Mar Sava, it's only a Karkura or Kachkuta. The beast or the Almo, all it is an extra piece. By the way, I remember the word skin tag. It's still tooling with skin tag.
Ear tags.
Ear
tags.
Not tag. Tag is it.
V-H-E-S.
Yeah, I never heard of a new tag. But that's how your whose kid it is. I mean, in my days, they used to tie a whole thing around your shirt. Do you remember going to first grade? And what did it say? My name is. Where did they hang it?
Sure.
It says in Montreal, they hang it off of your ear. In any event, with Tertullian. Yeah, cows we had. Tertullian, over here, it's a lotion of Tiltul, this is the Oroch says. It's a rather enhanced skin tag, but that's what it boils down to. It's not something that is a significant difference, it's just skin. That's our machlokes. It's not a lot of emotion we see now. Of course, we'll see later on how much, but never Rav, that would be much we have to learn this movement. What are you talking about? That's become doctors, vets, and so things. I'm talking about putting in years of work here, as we'll see. Yes, Bezdin Shah Yisrael was Yoshev and Bodek every single point. Before it was before he was accepted. Makavan, the dummy Roy Shayla Makavan. What is a Makavan? Oh, I'm sorry, we did it already, but I thought we were up to. Hakiriya Pasu, Omar Rava, Lo Shana Ella She'en Lo La Korav, the Yesh Lo Lifanam. When it says over here in the Mishnah that if he's a kireach who does not have a hair, a line of hair from one ear to the other, it means he doesn't have a line of hair behind on the back part of his head, but he does have in the front part of his head. But if he does have in the front and the back part of his head, he would be kosher. And kosher cane, if he only has in the back part of his head, which is even nicer, the alternative is to look like Friar Tuck. Right? So that we don't think is particularly nice. Actually, it's different to yourself. So this is Rashi's gear. So if he has hair only in the back of his head, which goes meoza nose, and that's vadai, fine. If he has hair only in the front, that is not fine. That's weird. If he has a Friar Tuck look, in which he has a little row of hair going around the front and back of his head, and there's nothing underneath or on top, so according to this Gersa, in this Lashon, it's okay. The Ikad Amasniyaseif, and some learn this piece as going on the Yeshlo, not the Eimlo. In other words, Im Yeshlo Areza Kasher, and Rava explains, when we see She Yeshlo, say She Yeshlo, we mean Yeshlo, only la'acharav and not lefanav. But if yeshlo ben la'acharav ben lefanav, that old Friar Tuck look is possible. And I highly recommend the Homilac over the Friar Tuck for making conventions or anything of this sort. You can call me and I'll give you Gabby's number at any time. The kosher king she yeshlo lefanav and the aim lo la'acharav, that for sure. If he only has hair in the front and not in the back, that's weird. And the Enlo Klal doesn't any hair at all, that's possible. Omrev Yochanan, Karchanim, Nanasim, and Zavlagim are all psulim, Lefishen and Shavat Zarashel Aaron. So, if you have somebody who's bald, somebody who's a dwarf, and somebody who is always leaking tears, he's possible because he's not included in Zarashel Aaron. Now, I want to stop here and read the next two Mishnayos so that we can see the Dinim of Maris Ayin, which we haven't yet seen, which the Gemara introduces here because of the confusion of the Maimer of Rav Yochanan. Says the next Mishnah, Ein lo givinim, the man has no eyebrows. O ein lo ela given echad, where all he has is one eyebrow that goes straight across, so to speak. Covers both of his eyes, but there's no brow in it. Zeru Gibein, Ha'omer B'Tayr. That's what we mean by a Gibein. Rabbi Deisomer, Shegevinab Shochvim. Nature of Gibein is he's got too much eyebrow. So in other words, he's all eyebrow. His eyebrow hair is so long that it covers over his eyes. So it's Shochvim. Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas Omer, what does Gibein have to do with eyebrows? Gibein has to do with God. And Gibein means somebody who has Shnei Gabin v'shtei Shidraot. Now, in the Gemara, it's going to say, not that he literally has Shnei Gabin v'shtei, but rather he has such a bad deformity in his spine that if you look at it, it looks like his spine goes up and then there's like something else coming up to the side. So he's got real serious scoliosis, right? No, there it's bent forward and the bone sticks out upwards. Here it goes off to the side and it looks like he's got two separate spines.
Today
they, I think they refer to the Balach HaTotot as a Gibein. Yeah, but that's not accurate here. This is neither. This is not a humpback. No, yeah, they're not Mechalik. The next Mishnah says, Hacharum Pasul. The Torah mentions Harum. Harum means somebody, Ezel Harum, Hakochel Shteinat Ke'achat. Somebody who can color both his eyes with one stroke, meaning his nose does not come up between his eyes.
No bridge.
So that his eyes basically are interconnected without a nose between them. That, says the Ramban, is called Charum, because that's a disaster. So it's actual Cherem. He brings a raya from the fact that in order to identify a mace, Yevamos, we need to have the search parts of Im HaChotam. And so apparently the Chotam is central to the tzur of the Partsuf. If something has happened to somebody's nose, then it has destroyed his face, and therefore it's called Chalum. Interesting idea.
The coloring of the eye, explain the fine makeup here.
Yeah. The fine makeup.
Is the septum of the nose missing?
No, the septum is inside.
A
bridge.
What do you mean a bridge?
The top part over here. It's sunken into his head underneath the eye.
Yeah,
she saw something.
Yeah, he had a photograph, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Very deep in the top of those nose.
Right. Or, if you have a case where Shteinav Lamala, both eyes are weirdly high on his head, it seems to be in his forehead, or Shteinav Lamata, or in terms of the focus of his eye, Eino Achat Lamala, Eino Achat Lamata, where he's Roar as a Cheder as Aviyah Gachas. Again, we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about cross-eyed here. Soche Shemesh, people who are sensitive to the light, and when they're in the light, they're actually squinting. And a Zagdan, actually the correct Lashon is probably Zugdus, which is Zugdus, which means the Hebrew of Zug. It should be a pair, and it remains Dus, it remains two. So it's a pair that isn't paired properly. So there's something wrong with the. In other words, you have, let's say, you have one eye, maybe, that's a brown eye, and one eye that's a blue eye. So it's a zoob dupes.
Cat like that.
Huh?
A cat like that.
We have a friend that is like that.
We have a good friend.
Yeah.
Different colored eyes.
And Siran, again, we're going to discuss these. It seems to be talking about, again, leakage. Or where his eye lashes have fallen out, these aren't pasul because of Eino Shava Vizara Shalaram, but they're pasul mipnei marita ayin. They are pasul because of Maris ayin. So now let's get back to our Gemara. This seems to be like a new idea over here. Maris ayin. Sorry?
Who can look into the sunlight?
People that are hypersensitive to sunlight. So now let's get back over here. Rabbi Yochanan said, Tarachanim, Nanasim, and Zavlaganim are psuchim. That's what he said. Now, the Zavlaganim are leaky-eyed. Because they're not sure of the Bizarre Shalaran. So first of all, I don't understand. I need Rabbi Yochanan to repeat the Mishnah. Karchanim Tanina. So first of all, Karchanim is a fresh mission. Nanatim Tanina. Later on it says, another theme, and so on and so forth. All of these are included in the pseudonym named Martha Ayin, so we should really, I don't want to, it's tomorrow's daf, so I didn't want to go, but there's a long list also that includes those cases. HaRezemun, V'shinosh V'shinosh, Pasum Ibn Marisa Ayin again, Mishnah afterwards. So why isn't that included? Well, actually it is. But Zavlagnin Yitzchik Leila Shemina. I need the Zavlagnin. So Mamela, he already mentioned the other words, and the truth is that the other cases he wanted to repeat. Because Mao de Tema, just to make 100% sure, that Mao de Tema Mishum Marisa Ayin, I might have thought that the other two cases are actually only a psul in Marisa Ayin, so that it's not an issue of your right. You wouldn't be over and say if you went ahead and did the Aveda. Kamashma and Rabbi Yochanan, no, you should know. All these three are posul Shein and Shabbat Zahar Shalar. What? Why would I have thought it's Marisa Ayin? I understand. Where is Mishum Maris Ayin? The Mishnah ends with the words Mishum Maris Ayin. So why would I think that these are Mishum Maris Ayin and not Mishum the Psul of Zahar Shalar, which makes a tremendous nafkamina la'alacha? I mean, the Mishnah would have told us Mishum Maris Ayin. So how could I have thought that that would be what happened over here? The Girsa here is very, very messed up. So we could take Rashi's Girsa. Kol echa the ike achrita mishum maris ayin hadatani. Like, so first of all, we thought it says later on. It's bringing an example. Shinik luchina pasul mishum maris ayin. If in fact talked about Nitu Sheinav or Noshu Sheinav. So if the Mishnah mentions later, as I mentioned to you, tomorrow's that Mishnah, talks about Noshu Sheinav, repeats that it's Mishum Maris Ha'ayin, that means that the Mishnah goes out of its way to discuss even things that were mentioned above to make absolutely certain that you shouldn't think that it's Mishum Maris Ha'ayin. So what possibility would there be to consider that maybe the Mishnah above would have mentioned it, and said Marisayin at the end, and we're supposed to, it repeats in order to follow Marisayin. Ela afu kei mi'adatanya. Actually, the reason Rav Yochanan repeats it is in order to say that it's possible, because there's a brisa that argues and says, Tetzanya karchanim v'hananasim v'azav laganim are ksherim v'lo amru posel mishum maris ha'ayin. Actually, there is a tanhus chaylik and says that they're only posel mishum maris ha'ayin. Comes along Rav Yochanan to say, no, that's not true. Hakarchanim, ananasim, anazav lagnim are all psulim lefi shein ha'shev v'zav shalarim. So because he wanted to paskin and to make it clear that it's not like the tan of the brisa, he said that it's not mishum maris ha'ayin. Who is the man the Omar that says that and would not say that Karachanim are not Shavim Bizarre Shalara? Man Haitana? It's clearly Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa, HaKohanim, B'nei Aaron HaKohanim. So what's the term? HaKohanim. So tell me, even if they're Karachanim. Because again, the question is, how strictly we define the Shavim Bizarre Shalara? I mean, is it one percentile? I mean, what exactly is Shabbat? So the Pasuk tells us an extra word, Akohanim, to allow us a little bit on the edges. Certainly it's not that uncommon to have a Kohen Kireya, and therefore, to feed that, we might extend it to include these other psulim as well. Therefore, comes along with Yochanan, and it tells us not like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's review the Mishnah again. Ein lo gibinin, o ein lo la gibin echad, zeu gibin amur b'torah. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Shekvinab Shochvim, and are extended very long. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna Seimer, no. A Gibain is Yesh Lo Shnei Gavim V'Shnei Shidrachot. The Gibain, the Ein Lo Mashma. I understand, this is a strange way of learning a Gibain, is that he's missing eyebrows. Usually Gibain should stress he's got a lot of eyebrows. Raminu Gibain, She'ein Lo, Sheyeshlo, rather, meaning harbe, meaning he's got too much. or Elo Gvinin, Eino Ella Gvin Echad Minayin, Tamad Lomar, O Gibain, you said Zehu Gibain. But if you want to say Gvinim Harbe, I mean, it's so thick that you can't tell the difference between one and the other. It's like one long row of hair, sort of like a Frankenstein kind of look or something.
Right?
Huh? Oh, Breslov. Yeah. That's right. That was his caricature always. So, Amar Rava, Zehu Midrash Ogi Bain. You're right, the Mishnah said not Zehu Gibain, Zehu Ogi Bain. Meaning, not that this is the definition of the word, this is the Medrash. This is what you're derish from Ogi Bain. Not the way the Pashas, you read the Mishnah, that it's defining the nature of the word Gibain. Rabbi Zaysa, amen? Rabbi Zaysa says that the guy has two spines. The guy has two spines. When we have the Paschal in the corner, he's going to do the Avodah. A person like that would never have survived. Lameimah Dechaya? You're trying to tell me a person, mutant like that is going to survive. Vayitma Hamapelet Biryash Yeshla Shnega Bim Shteshidraot. Omar Rabbi Isha in a vlad? It's not even considered to be a vlad by any means. It has no shaykhus bechlal to human kiyum. Vivehema Osir Bachila. Come on, that's an old question. But Ravani Alei Rapshim Bachila Rav. Rapshim Bachila asked Rav this when he learned the Mishnah. And Rav said to him, Amalei, Shimiyat. It's not talking about seriously. Shtei Shidraos. He means Shidrato Akuma. He's got such a problem with scoliosis that it looks as if he's got two separate spines. Comes out of one place, and you see it's completely bent on the top of his back like it came out from somewhere else totally. Looks like it's a completely different bone structure.
Okay, Rahman is an amazingly examined spine, and some of the spines that you see, when you look at them, you actually wonder how these people survive. I've seen spines that look like a solid head.
Wow.
Huge.
Amazing. Hecharum pasul, Ezeo Charum, Apochel Shtei Einav Keachat. So he doesn't have a bridge between his eyes. Shtei Einav Lamala, Shtei Einav Lamata, Eino Achas Lamala, Eino Achas Lamata, Reyes Achidah Vesealiyah Keachat. So one focuses up, one focuses down. And Sochei Shemesh, Zagdin, or as we said, Zogdus. Hatiram, Shinashri Seinav, all of these are possible in Maris Ayin. Tana Rabbana, the Charum, of course, says the version of the Torah, Eshechotmo Shakua. That means that it's pressed down, and Shakua between his eyes. The Echotmo Soled, Echotmo Bolein, Chotmo Noteif. Now, how about weird noses? A nose that's very short. So it's a pug nose, or a hang nose. Or a nose ends up in a sealed towards its front. Those type of noses come on all charum, even if it's not totally wrecked. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, charum, the meaning of charum has to be so bad that in charum ala kochel shtei enav keachat. Om lo gosh, he flags. I mean, it's a little bit of a guzma. This guy is. It's really bad, no? It's also considered to be charum. You don't have to go that far.
This is only from the Kabbalah and Dhamma onwards. It's like people shack with these problems, right?
Sure, it's like it's not.
It's not known to know that it's just going to be one for the guy. It's still going to be a bigger problem if he has these issues, right?
Yeah.
And that's the question
of the rest of the problem.